tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's May 27th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're just coming off Memorial Day weekend, and of course, if you're like me, you're as disoriented as you've ever been. Having that Monday off is a great reminder that you don't belong in an office. You belong outside, by the river, under the blue skies. So, hey, welcome back. I'm right here with you, and we're doing today's story about not just Tesla. This was inspired by an article that I published over the weekend. It's time to start recommending some Tesla alternatives. For years, Tesla has been the go-to EV recommendation for normals looking for a painless, low-effort experience from their first electric vehicles. But in light of questionable recalls and the CEO's recent involvement in controversial politics, people are starting to distance themselves from the trailblazing company. Despite early quality issues and ongoing service headaches, the groundbreaking S3XY, or sexy lineup of EVs, has always had a secret weapon in the form of the Tesla Supercharger network. That network of dependable high-speed chargers paired with solid app integration that makes it easy for Tesla drivers to find available chargers just about anywhere in the U.S. gave the brand a leg up, but no more. By opening up its Supercharger network to brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and others, Tesla has given away its biggest competitive advantage. Add in charging and route planning apps like Chargeway that make navigating the transition from CCS to NACS easier than ever with its intuitive colors and numbers and easy on-off switch for vehicles equipped with NACS adapters, and it feels like the time is right to start suggesting alternatives to the old EV industry stalwarts. As such, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Here then are my picks for some of the best Tesla sexy and Cybertruck alternatives you can buy now. You can go to that article. There's a link in the show notes over at electrek.co or here in the YouTube channel as well. I've got some Lucids, some Kias, some Hyundais, and I'm recommending Therapy for some of the Cybertruck guys. But all in all, there's a ton of great recommendations there, and we had a bunch of really, really good customer comments. There's over 200 as I say this, so be sure to go check those out. There's plenty of great insight there. But one thing that was kind of missing from the list, and that's my fault, was Ford, and there's no reason for that because Ford's F-150 Lightning has retaken its crown as America's best-selling electric pickup. That's right, Ford's electric pickup is back at the top of the heap. The F-150 Lightning is once again the best-selling EV in the U.S. after overtaking the Tesla Cybertruck in the first quarter. After launching in 2023, Tesla Cybertruck quickly outpaced the Lightning to become America's top-selling pickup in 2024. But since Tesla doesn't break down regional sales, registration data gives us our best estimate. The latest registration data from S&P Global Mobility shows that the F-150 Lightning retook the title in March, after the first quarter of 2025. Ford's electric pickup notched 2,598 registrations in March, topping the Tesla Cybertruck with 2,170. In the first quarter, the F-150 Lightning remained ahead with 7,913 registrations compared to the Cybertruck's 7,126. Now, not huge numbers there, but there's more to Ford than just the F-150 Lightning. Ford is here to help your fleet electrify if you're looking for a cargo van too. And their e-Transit electric cargo van costs the same or less than the gas version. That's by design, and that's before we start talking about incentives, and not only federal incentives, but local and utility incentives as well. And that brings us to this story from a couple of weeks ago. There's plenty of EV money still out there, despite what's happening in Washington, and plenty of people to help you find it. While Washington continues to threaten America's economic security and position as a global technology leader by toying with the idea of killing the $7,500 federal EV tax credit, the Energy Star program, and other energy efficiency initiatives, the private energy sector is stepping up with massive investments in battery storage, charging infrastructure, and commercial EV rebates. And helping fleet buyers navigate those new incentives is becoming part of the broader business plan. Now, of course, the inspiration for that article was a recent announcement by Ford Pro at ACT Expo last month, which is baking its incentive sourcing plan into its new electric vehicle incentive consultation service, a new offering designed to help Ford's commercial customers navigate the rapidly changing world of electric vehicle incentives. And the approach is working. In the few short weeks since launching the consultation service, Ford Pro has helped discover more than $40,000 in available incentives for charging purchases and $1.5 million for electric vehicle purchases. Now, here to talk about that with us today is Carly Dobbins-Buckled. She's the Senior Manager for EV Infrastructure and Charging Strategy I had an absolute blast recording this with her. It was a really fun interview. We're going to roll into that interview already in progress and take it from there.
Oh, I thought you were recording on some other secret site. Like,
no, that was it. This is how bad people joke. I tell people,
you know what? This is your hobby, isn't this?
This is my hobby. Yeah. I tell people I've been doing this since 2008. I'm still not good at it. We have our guest today, Carly Dobbins Buckland, Ford Pro Charging Strategy and Infrastructure Lead. We have been talking for 20 minutes and I just now hit record because you know what? I think all the negative YouTube commenters are right. I'm not as good as Mikey was.
You know what? It takes practice. You're going to get there. You're going to get there, Joe. It's going to be great.
15 more years. I'll nail it.
Yeah.
All right. We are coming off the ACT Expo, which was last week in Anaheim. 2 weeks ago in Anaheim, there was a ton of great announcements out there for the industry looking to electrify, looking to decarbonize. And of course, Ford Pro right at the forefront of all of that, not only with the E-Transit van, the Ford Mustang Mach-E, the F-150 Lightning, but also with the Ford Pro charging and infrastructure activities. So talk to us a little bit, Carly, about what Ford was doing at ACT Expo and some of the new programs and products that you guys stood up there.
Awesome. Yes. We have, you know, over 3 years of learning now helping our fleet customers.
We've been doing this for 3 years.
This this podcast. And basically it was a great time for us to be able to pull some of those learnings together. We've been putting together new services and tools, and we were able to talk about them a little bit at ACT Expo. One of the things was an EV incentive consultation service. So for fleets that are still figuring out how they're going to manage those upfront costs of electrifying, with both for the vehicle purchase as well as the charging itself and the infrastructure that goes with it that site make ready, there is a high upfront cost that you don't have if you're just going to replace your current vehicle with another, you know, gas powered or just internal combustion engine. But the good news is there's a lot of programs beyond the federal ones everybody knows and are in the news. There are a lot of state and local and utility based incentive programs that can offset all those costs. But it takes some work. It takes some work to figure out what they are. It takes some work to figure out if you which ones are applying to you and how to like sort of piece it all together and stack them up. So that's why we've both have a tool internally now that lets all of our sales teams and even dealers access these at the time, anytime, any customer can like get that information. And then we've also got incentive specialists that you email goelectric@fordpro.com and they'll help you put that report together basically based on all the different sites. So it depends where you are, where you're going to buy these vehicles and where you're going to charge them and all those things, what incentives might be available, but we're trying to take the guesswork out of that and just bring that information to the sales as early as possible, to the planning process really, right? If you're looking at 10 sites, you don't know which one to go forward with, this information can really help.
Well, and I think it's really crucial information to have, because if you're a fleet manager, and especially if you have a larger fleet, your day-to-day operations are already a full-time job. They're already keeping you busy. So if you're trying to not only figure out how to electrify, what assets to electrify, when to electrify, but also trying to navigate the ever-changing world of not just public incentive programs, but private incentive programs through the utilities, through programs like Exelon, ComEd, any of those, it's a daunting task. So I think a lot of people are really going to appreciate this ability to kind of layer these incentives together, have one company help you get rebates on the make ready side to kind of put that all together and get closer to that price parity.
Yeah. And then we are not the only ones who are trying to help fleets figure this out, but we do have a lot of customers who are, you know, have a lot of Ford vehicles, or, you know, maybe it's due to they've got special upfits that really work with a Ford vehicle, right? So they're interested in the E-Transit, they're interested in the Lightning, that are coming to us first and they're looking for us to be able to provide that information. So we decided it was important for us to be able to offer that in-house as well.
One of the key things to all of this is that, you know, when you buy a fleet of, let's say, 5 or 6 commercial vans and their diesel vans or gas vans, you don't have to build a gas station for it. But if you're looking at an electric van, you kind of have to build the gas station for it, right?
You're bringing it in house. Yeah. You're taking control of that, of the energy and fueling piece as well for the first time, which I think can have a lot of benefits down like long-term. But at the moment, you still got to like add that to your list of things to do if you're a fleet manager. Yeah. We talk a lot about TCO and uptime as being like the two most important things we feel like we have to help our fleets with, right? With all of our products and services, charging included in that. Charging obviously is very important for fleet uptime if you have an EV, right? Doesn't vehicle won't do much if it's not charged. But I would say there's even a third rail there of what fleets care about, and that it things are easy. Like they already have a full-time job, as you were just saying. And so that's the other thing we're trying to do is how do we take the guesswork out of it?
You know, one thing that if you're on the utility side, we talk about managed charging. If you're on the fleet side, you're talking about TCO and ROI. And a lot of that comes down to when you charge. And even that's kind of regional. If you're looking at where I'm located in Chicago, you want to charge overnight and get that really low rate. You're in Arizona, you're in Nevada, they have a ton of solar that gets curtailed in the middle of the day. They kind of want to find a way to charge between that like 2 to 4 p.m. kind of window. So part of that is building out not only infrastructure, but intelligent infrastructure. And I'm going to say something that I've heard you say a couple of times now, which is no dumb chargers. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about no dumb chargers. And I hope I fed you enough to get some good material out of this one.
I guess that's my new catchphrase now, but I do think it's important. There's a lot of in the space right now with all the other first-time costs and people just still kind of toe-dipping, right? They want to try it out and then before they expand and maybe electrify a lot more. There's some really cheap, dumb chargers out there. When I say dumb, I mean they're not connected, they're not networked. Like there's no way to do any controls on the charger. And I think that you're really shooting yourself in the foot if you go with a dumb charger, because the future is connected. You know, people are getting refrigerators that are connected and Wi-Fi enabled now, which I think it seems a little overkill to me, but not true on the charging side, because if your charger's not connected, you're going to miss out on three things. And that means it won't be able to get better with time. And ultimately, we won't really be able to get the full benefit of what transportation electrification could mean for this country. And the three things you'll be missing is first, visibility into how much you're charging and when you're charging and what all those behaviors are. And for a fleet, that's really important because all of your drivers are not going to behave the same way. The vehicles aren't going to pull up the same chargers all the time. You have lots of different sites. You're going to need to understand what's happening with these vehicles to make sure that they're all going to work. That lets you get control. So that's the very next benefit, right? Now you can control when those chargers charge, right? Based on your electricity rates or based on when you need that vehicle to be ready in the morning. That's the next piece. And again, whenever you have vehicles that don't always go to the same chargers or sites that have different load profiles and different locations with different considerations, like you were just saying, you need that charger level control. And then lastly, if you can visibility and control, now we can optimize. Now we can optimize based on site load. Now we can optimize based on the grid load and system signals and all the different like both financial incentive and other just like optimizing your own fleet operations decisions, right, at the same time. And so connected chargers, that's the way to go. Connected chargers are the future.
Back to that, I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure that gets built out that it can be optional and can seem like added cost up front. And I'm talking specifically about vehicle to home, vehicle to building, vehicle back to grid. Yeah. And we've seen that time and time again, where there are natural disasters, someone's got their Ford F-150 hybrid or their Ford F-150 Lightning, they're able to connect back, and whether it's just keep food in the fridge from going bad or keep themselves comfortable. But in cases where you're an electrician, you're a contractor, you're in disaster response, you're able to mobilize and power up a mobile office. You're able to bring power and energy back into a building that's doing critical operations. And I'm thinking here of like ambulances and fleet trucks and things like that. Yeah. So, and that's something that Ford seems to have a leadership role in. Is that something that you guys are actively engaging with fleets about, or it's still in the stages of people dipping their toe in the water and just kind of seeing what that feels like?
Well, there's three things that have to come together there, right? You've got to have the technology, be ready, right? And we're still in the early days, really. I mean, I know EVs have been around a while, but in terms of how we bring the whole system together, there's still a lot of room to grow from the battery side, as well as on the integration side for home backup, grid connected, all of it, interconnections. There's a lot to work out, but so you've got to have the tech ready, and it's got to be able to work and at scale, right? So we can actually make all the vehicles have it. Then you need your utility side partners to agreed a lot of different standards, a lot of different, like, how are we going to manage this? What's the process going to look like? You know, it's again, at the moment, it's very fragmented, very variable, and difficult to sort of say, like, this is going to be the plan going forward. And then the last piece, and customers have to want it, be ready for it, understand what it could do for them. And there is a little bit of a, I think we're in the early days there, like a little bit of a learning curve on just how EVs will fit in the current operations before we can even get to how the EVs could be an asset for your operations beyond a vehicle that moves your things around. So there, I think that we're definitely on the glide path there. And you're right that Ford and Ford Pro, are definitely like thought leaders and are putting a lot of energy into, pun intended, figuring out what this looks like long-term. But I would say there's still some foundational pieces that I think the market needs to get out there first, but a connected charger will go a long way for us being able to like have them improve over time. One thing that we hear that's kind of a barrier to some fleets that are already kind of mature and have adopted EVs and have like had a lot of learnings to them taking the next step to this piece where it's more of the, you know, bi-directional power flows and like different times where there's a third party that controls when there's peak shaving or load shifting, demand response events, is that they're still getting a handle on making sure their vehicles are always ready when they need them. And what does that look like for them and how much time that takes? And that uptime piece is again, part of what I think having connected chargers with the visibility lets you do. It also lets us do remote support. We can fix almost all of the charger issues remotely now. You can see that they're happening. You can use prognostics to be like, oh, there might be an issue, as opposed to having to send somebody out and fix it on site. And that's going to be really important for people to get comfortable and confident that they're, that all comes together before they're going to be ready to say like, okay, yeah, you can use some power off this vehicle while it's plugged in, or you can.
No, I think that 100%, I think that's really well said. I want to mention eSwitch Assist, which is a great product that Ford Pro put out last year. For those of you listening to this, if you haven't heard about this, Ford eSwitch Assist allows fleets to look at the vehicle assets that they have in operation now, specifically gas-powered or diesel-powered F-150s or F-Series trucks and transit vans, and identifies which of these vehicles are prime candidates for electrification without disrupting the way that you currently kind of do business, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a neat product. And, you know, you mentioned first, let's get comfortable, then let's or ready, then comfortable, then optimize. That this kind of goes backwards. Like people want to be very conservative when they bring on new technology, very conservative when they add a new truck. But the reality is that the vehicles that you're using the most, the ones that you're putting the most miles on, the ones that are, you know, in the shop for maintenance the most, that are burning the most gas, that are burning the most diesel, those are the ones that I think you should electrify first, because that's where you're going to see the highest savings and the greatest improvement in uptime. So as someone who's coming from the complete opposite angle and kind of trying to walk your fleets into it, you know, and meet the fleet managers where they are today, instead of trying to change where they are, how do you feel about that kind of statement that you might hear from, you know, journalists like me who have zero skin in the game, right? Like, it's not my millions. Yeah. It's not my job security. I get to say whatever I want.
Well, I guess I get to say my other favorite internal tagline here, which is things are just not one size fits all. They're just an awful lot of different operating patterns and priorities and routes and all of that that fleets are trying to juggle. And I think in some cases, what you're saying could probably be completely true. And they should just like, you know, go for the hardest use case first, right? And just like make it work and like get all those learnings. But for other ones, that would be potentially too disruptive if it didn't work and not the way that they want to learn. And that's fair as well. So we're just like, you know what? It's a journey, electrification journey. We'll meet you where you are, like you just said. And eSwitch Assist is one tool where you could take that modem data of your existing operations and help figure out, all right, these vehicles, technology today, what you're comfortable with, like, let's start there, because there is that confidence building that really still needs to happen, even though, again, like you said, like people who are living this every day maybe are like, oh, we're there. But I think if what you need is to try it out and sort of prove it out, then that's fine. One of the things about making things easy is also on the change management piece. Often it's not just the fleet manager's call. There's a lot of other people who need to have buy-in and confidence that this won't be too disruptive. And will actually be deliver the benefits that we all think are out there for fleets when they electrify. So.
100%. Carly, thank you so much. I know we're coming to the end of our time commitment here, and I burned through a lot of this by not understanding the basics of podcasting.
I'm just sorry for your audience missing all of your brilliant thoughts at the top.
It was so good. Guys, you missed conversations about Oberlin, cheese chalets. You don't even know. Yeah, this is the best episode that you'll never hear. But for those of you who are hearing all this and who are just like absolutely mesmerized and want to find out more about how Ford Pro can help your fleet electrify and find the money to help your fleet electrify, Carly, what's the best way for people to follow along? I have not seen a Ford Pro TikTok channel, but I assume there's something out there.
Yeah, I'll take that back. I'll take that back to the team. I mean, you can always go to our website. You can email goelectric@fordpro.com if you need any help with your electrification journey. I don't know. I think maybe they should just reach out to you, Joe. You can forward them on for us. How about that?
I'll definitely do that. You guys know that email. I think it's at the bottom of every show, tips@electric.co. Yeah, and thanks, I ignore most of those, but I'll send the ones to Ford.
All right. Thanks for having me on. And I'll come back anytime. You just let me know.
No, you won't. You're like, I'm done with this. Once again, Carly Dobbins-Buckland, she was a great guest. Thanks for being on the show. We will have more regular news programming coming up later this week. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss the latest and don't miss our next deep dive into big, fancy, fun topics like this one. Thanks so much for listening.